All right. Enough friendship. Enough friendship going on. No more friends. Friend zone is closed. You will find your seat. Yeah, no more of this friendship stuff, okay? Go ahead, please. Sit down. I really appreciate that. It has been an honor, again, and a privilege to be with you. I love your district. I love what God's doing in your district. And like always, I like to start with something that at least I find funny. And there was a little girl who came to her mom one morning, and she asked her mom, how did we come about? How did the human race come about? And her mom said, well, there was Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve had babies, and those babies had babies eventually, and here we are. Well, later that night, she came to her father, and she said, Dad, I'm curious. I asked mom this question, how did the human race come about? And her dad said, well, there were some monkeys, and those monkeys ended up having more monkeys. And then there was a long period of time, and some strange things happened, and eventually here we are. And that little girl went to bed that night absolutely confused. And she woke up in the morning even more confused. And she went to breakfast. She pulled her mom aside, and she said, Mom, I don't understand. I asked you how the human race came about, and you told me about Adam and Eve, and I asked Dad, and he told me about monkeys. What's going on? And her mom said, it's okay, honey. I was telling you about my side of the family. Your dad was telling you about his side of the family. Will you please join me by making your way over to 1 Samuel chapter 14 and 1 Samuel chapter 18. That's where we will be at as we conclude our reflections on the life of David and consider those implications for our season and stage of ministry. We have been tracking through David's life. We're actually going to take a step back today, and there's a reason why I want to do that. We have charted David's journey that started in a field. I want to remind you of a few things I said when we began. Jesus has a plan for your church. If you believe that today, can I get a good amen in the house of the Lord? He has a plan for your church, which means you need to be faithful in your field. And wherever God has placed you, for however long he has placed you, he is with you. So be faithful in your field. And we have noticed what took place in David's life. And David moved from a field into a battle. And then from a battle, he found himself being cheered in the streets. And from being cheered in the streets, he entered into the unique school of brokenness, which many of you shared. I'm in there right now. And I can tell you firsthand stories of spears that have come my way. And I love what God does in us and through us through the journey of caves in our own life. And then we took time to realize that David came king, and we celebrate the greatest king that Israel's ever had. And I love David's life. But the two most important people to me that I resonate with the most in all of Scripture apart from Jesus may surprise you. It is Jonathan. And it is Barnabas. I'm just convinced there is no Apostle Paul in the way that we think of him without Barnabas. And I'm just convinced there is no wonderful life of David, at least in the way that we think of him, without Jonathan. And so I submit to you something that really kind of summarizes the entire thing that I want to talk about. And that is that I know without a doubt God has given you unique kingdom assignments. Your calling doesn't change, but your assignments do change. And some of you will have new, fresh assignments. Some of you are stepping in already to new and fresh assignments. But what I've come to in my own life is I examine Scripture and I think about my own life, I think about your life in ministry, is that every single one of us need heaven's friends for heaven's assignments. That in order for you to complete heaven's assignments on your life, you will need, not want, heaven's friends. Now, what is a heaven's friend? A heaven's friend is a supernatural gift from God that is a relationship of someone who wants something for you far more than they want from you. They're the type of people who come alongside of you and they support you and they encourage you and they walk with you and they help you live out your redemptive purposes and step into in greater ways who God has called you to be. They're the type of people who enlarge your soul as they also enlarge your joy. Every single one of you needs heaven's friends for heaven's assignment in your life. And I know, again, we are coming back to this reality. I understand who I'm talking to. When you think about our world is divided between being widely known and being well known. When you think about the TikTok nation that we live in, the social media revolution, it's very easy. People in our community outside the church, they're extremely widely known. Would you agree? Like, it's not hard to get friends on social media, or maybe they're involved in a few things in their school, and before you know it, they are widely known, but they're not very well known. In our churches, we have people who are part of our church. They're maybe in a small group, or maybe they serve, and it's easy for them inside of the church to be very widely known. Everyone knows, fill in the blank. And even though they're widely known, they're often not well known. And social media in particular can create a facade in significant ways. I know you've had this same story occur, but I can remember just a few weeks ago, I'm sitting down with something and I'm counseling them. Their marriage is falling apart and they had just lost their job. They were depressed. It was really, really tough for this particular person in their season of life. And then later that evening, I'm not on social media that much, but I happen to be on social media. And there is a picture of them with the Bible open and you know, sunlight's coming through and they've got their coffee cup and they're smiling and it's hashtag living my best life now. And I reached out to them and I said, I'm sorry, was I confused a couple hours ago? So often we project one thing to the world, and we are something else interior. And so can I get in your kitchen? I know I've been out in the grass, and you've invited me to your front door, and we've been hanging out in the living room. Thank you. I want to sit down at the kitchen with you. Here's what I know about you, at least many of you. You are very widely known. A lot of people in this room, they know your name. But many of us in ministry really struggle with being well known. Let's face it, ministry can be incredibly lonely. And in the local church, it is incredibly hard for most of us to have relationships, even within the context of our family. So let me ask you this question. Who knows you? Who is your heaven's friend? And who are you being a heaven's friend to? Hold on to that as we journey through the life of Joseph. When it comes to a Zambian proverb that I keep coming back and reflecting on, I think it's important just to kind of share it with you. It just says, when you run alone, you run fast. But when you run with someone, you run far. Ministry is not a sprint. It's not even really a marathon. It's an ultra marathon. I was this morning thinking about a wonderful couple that is serving in the Copper Canyon. And what you may not know about the Copper Canyon, if you've ever read the book Born to Run, it's like some of the world's greatest ultra marathon runners. And if you don't know what an ultra marathon is, it's anything over 26 miles. And it can be several hundred miles. I was introduced to someone named Dean Karnassius. I went through a season of my life. I said, I'm going to become an ultra marathon runner. The problem was I couldn't run a mile. So that's a challenge. But I heard about his story and how he woke up one day and after an evening for a birthday celebration, he ran a marathon. And then he decided to give his life to this. He's ran 3,000 miles from the East Coast to the West Coast. He went through 50 pairs of shoes, ran consecutively through. He has ran on a treadmill in Times Square 150 miles. I think, why would anyone ever want to do that? That's a whole different side of the story. But whenever you think about ultra marathons, that's what ministry is. Ministry is not a sprint. Ministry is really an ultra marathon. And for every heaven's assignment, we need heaven's friends. We pick back up. This is 1 Samuel chapter 18. Jonathan is the son of King Saul. We learn that David has faced, fought, and defeated Goliath. Chapter 18, verse 1. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David along with his tunic, even his sword, his bow, and his belt. We'll unpack this further at the end, but I want to back up just a moment to spotlight who Jonathan was. Jonathan's name means God's gift, and he was certainly God's gift to David. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, we're introduced to Jonathan. Jonathan, one of the things that is most impressive to me, and it's so important for the long-standing hope that we have in ministry, is that Jonathan wasn't entitled. Too often in ministry, we get entitled. And we think about me rather than we. Jonathan always had this mentality, at least when he shows up in Scripture, of being entrusted. Jonathan was a man whose life was marked with sacrifices. And there's this moment in chapter 14 where Israel's going into a battle against the Philistines, and they are intimidating Israel. They're insulting God. And we know that the current king, Saul, is doing absolutely nothing. In verse 2 of chapter 14, Saul was staying at the outskirts under a pomegranate tree. With him were about 600 men. So instead of fighting, they are leaning and they are waiting. And into this midst, we find Jonathan saying in verse 6 to a young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men." Again, this is not a compliment. "Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." And if you're circle highlighting and underline, like I like to do, verse 6, "Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf." We know in this particular moment and setting that there were not weapons. There were two weapons, two swords. One was with Saul, and one ultimately becomes with Jonathan. And in this particular moment, Jonathan is going to face the Philistines. And very briefly, I want to point you to a few things that I see in Jonathan. He's a man of sacrifice, and his sacrifice is motivated by a desire to honor God. What drove Jonathan to the point of stepping out into uncertainty, facing battle when everyone else was willing to recline underneath a tree, was this desire to honor God. In our ministry, we will lose fuel if the primary objective is the people. And I'm not saying that people don't matter. The reality is there is a heaven and a hell, and as long as there is a heaven and a hell, reaching people is not optional. We all know that. I'm just saying I found an even deeper fuel, and the deeper fuel is to honor and glorify God. I believe we need to plant churches to the glory of God, replant churches to the glory of God, revitalize churches to the glory of God. The glory of God in a particular city or a particular town, I'm telling you, there's a longer standing, deeper fuel that happens when that becomes your vision. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we were to back up, the Lord at an early age, because of Jonathan's connection with Eli, I wonder if he considered what the words of Eli were, who said, "Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, I promise that members of your family would minister before me forever, But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained. Honor. Wherever there is a breakthrough of honor, there is a breakthrough of blessing. Wherever there is a breakdown of honor, there is a breakdown of blessing. And wherever we have a sacrifice problem inside the church, we have an honor problem inside the church. That honor and sacrifice go hand in hand. And those who sacrifice deep down really are connected to a way in which they want to honor God. Secondly, sacrifices that are made in this particular moment by Jonathan, they're made without certainty and often when no one is looking. In chapter 13, verse 22, so on the day of battle, not a soldier with Saul and Jonathan had a sword or spear in his hand, only Saul and his son Jonathan had it. Which I think is just incredible to me, because I absolutely would love to be there when Jonathan says to the armor bearer who has the armor, hey, what do you say the two of us go and face the Philistines? Doesn't this sound amazing? Hey, by the way, we could win or we could die. What do you say? Sounds like a great day to pick a fight. I love the words of Irwin McManus. No matter how mundane a moment may appear, the miraculous is waiting to be unwrapped within it. Mother Teresa was asked once, because there was a very wealthy man who flew in to serve with the House of the Dying, and finally he got some time with her, and she said, why are you here? And he said, I'm here to learn from you because I want the type of clarity you have. And she laughed and said, I've never had clarity a day in my life. What I've had is faith and trust. And can I say to all of us, and you probably know it right now in your setting and situation, there are things that God is calling you to that you cannot see how it will all turn about. Take one step at a time, one bold step of faith at a time. He was willing to risk. In chapter 14, verse 11, it says, so both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Look, said the Philistines, the Hebrews are crawling out of holes that they were hiding in. The men of the outpost shouted, Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. I'm sure the armor bearer thinks this guy is certifiably crazy. Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right before him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer followed behind and killed them. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about a half of an acre. There is this incredible scene that has taken place, and Jonathan and his armor bearer are discovering the favor of the Lord. Third, Jonathan made decisions of sacrifice that were clearly managed with humility and submission. Jonathan is someone who is next in line for the throne, which means Jonathan could have been the type of person who refused to let go of the throne and refused to make way for other people. Instead of Jonathan making way for David, Jonathan could have torched the entire kingdom, if you will. He could have sabotaged everything by his words, by his actions, by his deeds. And what we know about Jonathan is that he was a man of humility and he was a man of submission. Instead of tearing things apart, he trusted and released. By the way, someone needs to hear this today. You're in a place in ministry and you could tear things apart, but if the Holy Spirit is working in your life and there is this place of needing to release, I urge you, release it and trust God with what comes next. This is who Jonathan was. And we get back to chapter 18. And in chapter 18, Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Notice one more time. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. To me, this is exactly the picture of heaven's friends. And I really do believe ministry can be incredibly lonely. And inside the church, it's hard to find those types of heaven's friends, and may God give them to you. But even in this room, some of you will become heaven's friends to someone else in this room. And what does it mean to be a heaven's friend? Well, certainly, it means to be someone who wants something for you, not just from you, that comes alongside and encourages and supports you and listens to you and loves you and helps you reach your full redemptive potential. But I also think this picture is quite beautiful. Notice the three areas here. A robe. To me, the robe is this picture of Jonathan saying, I know what I'm entitled to, but I see God's work in your life. Every heaven's friend is willing to call out what they see God doing in the life of their friend. And I'm giving this to you because I believe you have what it takes to serve God in your generation. When's the last time you've used that type of language with someone in your life? Jesse overlooked David. Saul overlooked David. Jonathan says, when I look at your life, I believe you have what it takes to serve God's purposes in this generation. The tunic, I'm opening my life to you. Heaven's friends is someone who's willing to not keep secrets. And then lastly, the sword. You don't have to worry. Whether it's in private or public, I will fight for you. I believe in you. I open my life to you. I will fight for you. And Jonathan honored God and made sacrificial decisions all the way to the point of death. Jonathan died fighting for the glory of God, if you will, the honor of God. And he died next to his father, honoring him as well, while at the same time protecting the future kingdom that David would eventually rule. Look what David says in 2 Samuel chapter 1. It'll be on the screens for you to follow along. Women of Israel, weep for Saul. He dressed you in finest cottons and silks and spared no expense in making you elegant. The mighty warriors fallen in the middle of the fight. Jonathan struck down on your hills. Oh, my dear brother Jonathan, I'm crushed by your death. Your friendship was a miracle wonder, love far exceeding anything I've known or ever hope to know. And one more time, let me read you the words of Gene Edwards that I think are appropriate in this moment. In his book, Tell of Three Kings, he says, I desire his will, not his power. I desire the will of God more than the position of leadership. He's speaking as if it's Jonathan. The throne is not mine, not to have, not to take, not to protect, and not to keep. I will leave the city. The throne is the Lord. So is the kingdom. I will not hinder God. No obstacle, no activity on my part lies between me and God's will. This is a powerful picture. And when I think about the gospel, the good news of the risen Christ, Jesus gets off the throne for a moment so that we can get into the kingdom. When you think about your own life, when you think about your own friendships, I ask you again, do you have some heaven's friends? And if not, what would it look like in a new and fresh way to pray that God would give you in this next season of heaven's assignment, fresh and new heaven's friends? And what would it look like in ministry if you became heaven's friends to someone? Now, I know what you might be thinking. Why did you wait to the very end to talk about heaven's friends and backtrack into the story of Jonathan? Because when I was praying for you and I was praying over our time, there were two things that kept coming to my heart and mind. One is, I know the tragedy in ministry of how many people use the language of burnout, but they're really not burned out. They're really just lonely. And we're afraid to name it and call it because it doesn't sound nearly as acceptable. I'm surrounded by several hundred people, and I don't have any really good soul friends. And I'm praying God would give you a few heaven's friends maybe in this room. But I also could not help but think about a relationship that has not only blessed me, but I'm confident and I know has blessed you. So I need you to give me just a few moments. When I think of Jonathan in the Bible, I also think of Jonathan in this room. And Jonathan, I know, and I can speak on behalf of all my heaven's friends here, that you have been a heaven's friend to everyone in this room and to people who are not in this room and to multiple states. And you have made one decision after another decision to sacrifice. You have encouraged all of us to honor God. You have used your words and your actions to say, hey, I believe that you have what it takes to serve Jesus in your local church. You've opened your life to us, and you have fought for us. And I want to say on behalf of everyone here, we love you. Thank you for being a heaven's friend. I couldn't help but think about the amount of miles you drive. You have more miles than Delta on your car. And that's because you relentlessly love people. And so I'm going to ask that you would allow us to do something that may not be kind of on paper, but I'm really trusting God will use it on purpose, because wherever there's a breakthrough of honor, there's a breakthrough of blessing. And I know that your season here will be coming to an end. Not your influence and not your leadership and certainly not your ministry. But I want to invite you to do something with me. And I think it's a fitting way for me to be here with you. Would you mind just coming up here to the front, and would you mind standing right here for one moment? And I'm going to invite all of you to stand with me, and I want to ask for all of you to come around Jonathan for a moment. And Lori, would you mind coming and standing with Jonathan right in the center? So please get out of your seat, come on around. He's going to be right over there. We'll make a big circle around. I'll move over here off the stage. Feel free to just make your way over. Jonathan, I know how much you love everyone in this district. I know how much you serve them. I know how you take calls in the morning and you are willing to go out late at night. I know how much you pray for the people who are here and our communities that we live in. I know you've had to deal with plenty of different changes and adjustments, and it's never easy, but thank you so much for being a heaven's friend. Thank you for believing in us. Thank you for opening your life to us. Thank you for fighting for us. And here's what I would like for you to do, please. I'm just going to ask two or three people, would you mind simply praying a blessing over Jonathan and over Lori? Would you just bless them in the name of Jesus and affectionately love on them for a moment? And so I just want to create some ministry space here. So please, whoever would like to, go ahead. Just short blessings on them. Lord, I thank you for this space and this moment. And I know for Jonathan and Lori, their season is not over yet, but we're asking for your favor as they finish well. And we're asking that they would know the joy of the Lord. Thank you so much that they have been and are heaven's friends to us, and we pray your blessing over their lives in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. If you don't mind just finding your seat one more time. We love you guys so much. If you don't mind just finding your seat one more time, I just have another hour that I'd like to go. And gosh, I love your hunger and passion for the word. I simply want to say this over you, and the worship team can come. Thank you for the privilege and honor to be with you and to have this space to serve you. I pray in some small way, as we have been refreshed by the word of God, that our souls have been refreshed. I charge you and encourage you. I hope you have amazing, life-giving, flourishing churches, but don't grow churches at the expense of growing your heart for God. And so continue to love your first love. Continue to let Jesus build his church. Let me just pray a blessing over you. Will you open your hands just like this? Posture of receiving. As you have prayed for so many people, I'm doing for you. May the Lord bless you. And then may the Lord keep you. May you know the keeping power of your God, whether you are on a valley or a mountaintop, whether you're in a cave, or you have gotten to where you have prayed for. May he make his face shine upon you. May you know the rich love of God, and that you would minister out of his love for you. And then may he give you peace, and may his peace saturate your family. May it saturate your church, and may it saturate your soul. In the name of the risen Christ, I bless you.